So today we're going to talk about joy. It's our third part in our little series. I think that actually really happened. I don't think that's posed. But last week we talked a little bit about the war against joy, and a lot of people found it really helpful. So we'll put it on Facebook this week if you want to click on it and just kind of learn what is it like to fight against the fight against your joy. Does that make sense? One idea that I shared last week that really has been helpful to me, I was meeting with my friend Tom Steffen, who's a pastor at Monta Vista Presbyterian in Newbury Park. And Tom has done, I think, 20 funerals in the last year and has just had a heaviness, you know, around this, you know, all the events in our community and in this last year. And he has found that the joy of the Lord sits like deep waters in his life. And there's a fight above that between happiness and pain. But we can't, it's helpful for us to understand in our own lives when we try to understand joy, that joy is not fighting against pain. Life is going to have pain. Life is going to have its ups and downs, and you don't lose your joy when something difficult happens. It's not as fragile as that. What it is something that's unshakable that sits below. It sits deep in your spirit, deep in your heart, deep in your life, that the Lord can bring this foundation of joy that isn't going like a tennis match, that all of the other stuff sits on top of. So if you want to hear more about that, you can listen to last week, but it's been helpful to me to study it, to learn it, to try to understand, oh yeah, the Lord wants us to have joy. So today we're going to talk about Christmas. How many of you are Christmas fans? Okay, I'm a big Christmas fan. I love the day. I love the season. I love the lights, the gifts, the food, the whole thing, the music. My daughter, in fact, this morning, she was laughing when I was singing out the Christmas carols because I just sing them. And she goes, "Dad, you sound like a country singer." I don't know if that's good or bad, but we'll see. Is it good? Okay. So we're going to talk about joy today, and it's okay to smile a bit as we talk about it. It would be kind of ironic if you were just scowling at me while I'm preaching about joy today. So let's have some smiles. Okay? Are you ready to smile? Okay. And I thought it would be fun also. Some of you grew up, how many of you have been to summer camp through church when you were a kid? Do you remember this song that says, "I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart"? Nice, right? And then in Mexico, where we're going this week, it's "Yo tengo gozo, 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 gozo en mi corazón," right? And then we say, "Donde?" Nice job. Okay. So Christmas is a season of joy. Joy is all over the Christmas story. Like every character, as you look, except for Herod, every character in the Christmas story, you find joy all over it. But ironically, it's the season when a lot of people struggle with family systems and history and memories and all this junk that can drag us down. And a lot of times people struggle with sadness and even depression this time of year. And I think that one piece that we're going to address today is because our thinking about life and our thinking about our joy sometimes gets down here rather than up here. I'll tell you a little bit more about what I mean as we go through this morning. But sometimes we think that it's about us and it's about our situation and my joy and how I feel is based on what's happening today, rather than my joy should be based on what Christmas means for the planet and whose birthday it really is, right? It's not my birthday. It's his birthday. And so we give gifts to each other, which is really cool, but just think, what does the Lord want this year for his birthday? You know what he wants? He wants you, right? He came for you. That's why Christmas even happened. And so just be thinking about, Lord, do you want me to be sourpuss me for you for Christmas? Or do you want me to have joy, to find meaning, to find peace, to find purpose in you, right? I mean, it's kind of strange if I give myself to him kind of like, well, I guess I'll give you me this Christmas, rather than, Lord, thank you for who you are and all you mean and I'm excited to be with you. Take me. Take the rest of my life. That's what he really wants for Christmas. So let's think about what happened one night outside Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. You got some shepherds. They're hanging out, minding their own business. Every day is the same for these guys. Okay, some of you feel like your job is mundane. Nothing like a shepherd. Okay, these guys, every day, same thing. Every night, same thing. Right? That would get pretty annoying. Okay? So then, angels show up out of the blue. This amazing message happens, and I think we know it from Luke 2. It says this: an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." There's so much in that. Good news is literally the word gospel. And when he says great joy, it says mega joy. That's the Greek, mega, okay? So giant joy is happening. I think it's also fascinating that these guys on the outskirts of society, they're like, I don't know what it would be in our culture, but the bottom of the bottom, like the worst job you could have. And the good news is to you. This great joy is to you. It's not for everybody else. You don't miss out on this. It's not just for the religious people. It's for you guys. And these guys were with their animals all the time, and they didn't smell very good. I mean, literally, shepherds were not allowed to be in the gatherings of the synagogue and the normal religious activity of the day because they were just, you know, they were out there. And these guys must have thought, my luck will never change. My life will always be the same. Ho-hum, da-da-da-da-da-da, and then wow. And angels show up, and I love how they always say, don't be afraid. I would love to just be an angel for a day just to scare the heck out of people, right? And then say, don't be afraid, right? Because they always say, don't be afraid, because they're so terrifying, right? So these angels, the highest creatures, show up among the lowest people. I think it's a really interesting contrast. And dirty and smelly meets glowing and heavenly. And the dark, dreary earth gets woken up with light, with this message of joy and hope and bright, shiny heaven. And these guys who probably didn't have a lot of hope become the first messengers of what? Hope. So they're the guys that go into Bethlehem and start saying, you know what all this means? We found him. Hey, everybody, we found him. They become like the first missionaries. Do you think that they quit being shepherds after this experience? I don't think so. But I bet they shepherded differently, right? I will bet that they did not just, you know, think every day is going to be the same and whoa, whoa. They thought, God noticed us. We matter to him. We got to meet angels, for goodness sake. Like, wow. Now, here's something interesting. So these guys outside the city of Bethlehem were raising sheep, right? Where were those sheep going to go? Do you know what kind of sheep they were? They were going to go to Jerusalem for Passover. So they were raising sacrificial lambs in Bethlehem. That's where most of them came from for the city of Jerusalem. Now, something else interesting, they had to be perfect. Okay, they couldn't be blemished. They couldn't have marks on them and stuff. They had to be outdoors for 365 days in a row, those sheep. Guess who else had to be outdoors for 365 days? The shepherds. So when it says they were watching their flocks at night outside, right? It all makes sense. And then the angels come and announce Jesus, who would become the sacrificial lamb, who would replace the sacrificial system, who would turn this whole religious system on its ear and fulfill it. Amazing, right? So it says that the angels said it's good news of great joy. So why were the angels so fired up? Why were they so stoked, right? It's because grace was being born. It's because hope was being born. It's because Jesus was coming into the world to change the world, to change history. That's why we have AD and BC, right? And so the whole idea that they were announcing is that, hey, everybody, God's hope is coming to you, specifically, personally, in Israel, and for the whole planet, and everything is about to change. It's interesting, too, that that message hasn't changed. So we live in a world where everything changes, right? I mean, wow, do things change quickly. I mean, my kids don't even know what this thing does on the door of a car, right? So my son thought that's how you'd put the seat up. So things change. The message of Christmas has not changed for 2,000 years. And every year this time of year, every year this season, most countries on the planet have some aspect of Christmas that's right in front of people's faces. They have to figure out, who's Jesus? Why did he came? Why lights? Why gifts? Why songs? Why does this all matter? Because the message of Christmas does not go away. I think it's beautiful that the Lord keeps this reminder out every year for all of us and for our cultures to deal with who he is. And the world has to pay attention to Christmas. How many of you like Christmas lights? Man, we went to the Reagan Library to check out the Christmas lights the other night with my folks. We had a blast. It was really fun. And there's something about the symbolism, the power of the light shining in the darkness, that just is the most beautiful representation of Christmas to me. And it just, the sparkle of a candle or the lights on a house or the lights on a tree just remind us of that first night, that the angels just surprised the heck out of shepherds in this little dark place, bringing the light of heaven and the light of the message of who Jesus would be. Let's learn a little bit more about joy. We're going to fast forward a little bit into the Christmas story to Mary. One of my favorite, Mary's my hero. I don't know about you, but Mary is a phenomenal figure of faith and hope and peace and joy in Scripture. So let me just set the stage for a little bit. So before Jesus was born, Luke 1 says that Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And when she went to visit, the baby inside of Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy. It says that. Do you know who that baby was? John the Baptist, right? And so in that moment, we see joy happening in another place in this Christmas story. And I think that Elizabeth's encouraging words helped Mary to get through a difficult time in understanding, hey, how am I going to live this out? Who can I talk to about what's been happening to me? And just when she walked in, her cousin is on her team, on her side, giving her a back rub and saying, you know, let's do this. And I imagine the fears that Mary must have had, because unplanned pregnancy did not end well 2,000 years ago in Israel. There were probably death threats and rumors, and the whole town is against you. And she's just wondering, like, how is this all going to play out? How is this going to complicate my life? And yet in the middle of that, great joy. And right after she has this interaction with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says, you know, wow, you came to see me, the mother of my Lord. How blessed am I? Then Mary jumps into what's called the Magnificat, which is Mary's song. And it's called that because it's the Latin word for magnify. So in the Latin translation of these verses, it's called the Magnificat. And we can learn some really important things from Mary's song. Aaliyah is going to read it for us. Would you welcome her as she comes up?
My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors.
Thank you. Did you notice how similar that picture of Mary was to Aaliyah? So Mary, right out of the gate, doesn't look at her circumstances. She looks up. She looks to the Lord, and it says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in him." So her whole being is caught up in who God is, rather than, oh my gosh, how's this all going to work out? I think that if each of us learns one thing from today that we will take with us into Christmas and into 2019, here it is. Look up before you look around. But how often do we look around and then we get overwhelmed and we say, oh my gosh, look at all this. And then we freak out, and then we talk to someone, or we read something, or we go through a few weeks, and then someone says, hey, dude, why don't you look up? Oh, yeah. What if we start, right, with looking up? Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for knowing me and that I know you. Start there, and everything else around us will make sense, right? Remember, seek first his kingdom. You ever read that somewhere? So Mary starts with looking up. That's the first aspect of her joy. And then the next aspect, she looks back at God's faithfulness to his people and to her, because she's a descendant of David also. And she says seven times, he has done this. He has done this. She's rehearsing God's faithfulness over time, his mercy over time. And what does that mean? If he's been faithful before, probably continue being faithful now. So if you're freaking out, if you're struggling with your joy, if you're saying, I don't know about all this, what if you look back and you say, oh, God, thank you for, right? And you think about how many times he's been faithful in the past in your life, and you rehearse these things. Some of you as parents have made like little jars of like a gratitude jar or a praise jar or something where our kids write, you know, places where they've seen God act, they've seen miracles, they've seen prayers answered. You put those in a jar. And you need those when things aren't going so well. And you feel frustrated, and then you dig back into that treasure chest of his faithfulness. You say, oh yeah, look what, remember when he did that? Remember when he did this? That's great advice. And then the next thing she does is she looks at his promises. So she looks up, she looks back, and it's kind of like she's looking forward. And so she says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. How'd she know that? Because God was showing it to her, right? It's a prophecy. And then she says, he'll be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors, looking back, looking forward. And so she was making God's promises her own. I feel like sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we say, yeah, God promised that, and it's kind of in his Bible somewhere for somebody. Nah, it's for you. Why not read God's promises and own them and say, Lord, you promised this to me. You promised this to us. You promised this to humanity. You came because you promised to come here. You saved us because you promised to save us. We get to be with you forever because you promised that as well. Make his promises your own. I love this quote. Carol McLeod, she said, just like Mary brought the promise and the light of Jesus into a dark world, just like she had joy that she brought into a hopeless world, Carol says, your life also becomes purposeful as you carry the Christ child into an inky and hopeless world. So here's the thing. Mary literally, physically brought Jesus into the world, right? And so we now, as believers, as followers of Christ, we also have a similar role every Christmas and every day of bringing Jesus into the world to our family and our neighbors and our friends. and in a way, delivering him to them. Isn't that interesting? And so in that sense, we get tied up also in this, Lord, how do I see my circumstances right now? And what are you doing? And I know that you've been faithful in the past, and I know that you've promised to use my life in the future. And so Jesus comes into that moment in our relationships with everybody else, especially around Christmas. So in a couple days or tomorrow when you're with family and friends, just say, Lord, how do you want to be present in this? How do you want to bring joy through me? I was having a conversation with somebody out in front around the coffee this morning who was a little hesitant about Christmas and what Christmas was going to look like with the kind of the funny family system that this person is from and how kind of messed up the I'm not going to have you raise your hand if you're from a messed up family, but we all kind of go into these Christmas settings with like, how can I protect myself in that environment? And that's okay, but I also want to challenge you and say, how does the Lord want to bring his joy through you into that environment? Right? Rather than just surviving. Because I think we could have this in our goal is too small. I just want to survive Christmas. I don't know if that's really honoring to the Lord, right? He'll hear that and he'll be like, I get it, my child, but isn't there a little bit more? What if we said, how could I bring who you are into the, how could I bring your hope and your light and your peace and your glory? How's that? How can I bring your glory into the kitchen as I'm, you know, working on cleaning up the dishes? How could I bring your joy into this situation where my family are pretty sad about what's happening, right? The Lord wants to do so much more with us. Let me give you a picture of what that's like. I feel like joy is like a rocket ship. Okay? And for Mary, her rocket had three fuel tanks. One of them was the present, like looking up and saying, Lord, I trust you, I honor you, I love you. One was looking back at his faithfulness. And another one was owning his promises for the future. And I think based on those three things, her joy was pretty tough. Her joy could not be tipped over. And you see that later on in her life where she was accused and called out and people are mistreating her son. She's at the cross. I mean, some pretty intense stuff happens in this lady's life and she doesn't get tipped over. And you see that her joy is tough because of these things. And I feel like that the really important thing for Mary, if I were to boil it down to one thing, is that she trusted him no matter what. And so there was an unsinkability to her joy. And she saw that God was using her as part of his plan. Did you know that you are part of his plan? Amen. I don't know if you thought about that. When you woke up this morning, you're like, Lord, how are we going to do your plan today? Or was it more about your plan, right? So just like Mary was physically involved in God's plan of rescuing the earth, he has welcomed us, his promise is that he's going to use our lives for his glory, and that we are part of that as we look forward. And hopefully that will give you a little bit of that rocket fuel to move forward. And the joy that Mary had was much, much more powerful than happiness. It was deeper, it was tougher, it was stronger. And Kay Warren has a great definition that I shared with you last week, but it's this. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the, did you see how she said that? All the details? Sometimes you feel like, not that one. He's in control of all the details, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in all things. Mary totally lived that out. I defy you to show me how she didn't. I mean, she looked at her life with that kind of a lens. And she looked at all of the things that were going to happen and all the things that she was unsure about, and she offered them up to the Lord and said, Lord, let's do this. Yeah. And even when the angel is speaking to her, she says, may it be done to me as you've said. Let's go for it, is what she said. So here's the point. Jesus did not come to earth for you to be sad, for you to be depressed, and for you to get by. Now, if you're a parent, your goal for your kids is not that they would squeak by and be less miserable than the person next to them. Am I right? Are you with me? Your goal for your kids is that they would be fulfilled, that they would be who they're created to be, that they would have joy and peace, and that they would feel good in life, that they would make progress. And so the same thing is true for us. The Lord wants us to have his joy, to have real, lasting life. Now, I heard a good story from Kenny this morning, who was out on a bike ride, and he came up to a guy that had done maybe, 100 miles or so? And wow. Just real loud, tell everybody in two sentences, what did the guy say to you? So fun. And I think this is a great example, because Ken, I see you as somebody that has the Lord's joy, and you share it with other people, and then when you rub up against this guy and you're like, mega joy, right? Joy, mega joy. That's what these verses talk about. The angels said, there's joy that you guys think you understand. I'm going to tell you about mega, right? So there's this joy that the Lord wants us to have that's like one step above what we think's even possible. Yeah. I think we aim way too low. And I'm not talking about prosperity gospel, about you're going to have everything that you want. No. He's going to give you a joy in your heart, in your soul, that is more important than having everything that you want. That really will make you satisfied with the right things and will make you satisfied in him, where you don't have to strive for all of this other stuff. So how does it feel for most of your family to be together right now? Look at this whole crew over here. And how about fosters? How does it feel to have your whole crew over here? It's pretty cool, right? So there's a joy that we get in being family and in being together around the holidays. Hopefully if the messed up part of our family doesn't tip that over. But how cool to have that, even that earthly and relational joy. And I think that's just a picture. That's like an appetizer for what heavenly joy is, because it's relational joy in the Lord and knowing that he loves you and you love him, and that he has this purpose for your life that goes way beyond just today. Amen? Amen. Psalm 5 says that God is our source and our reason for joy. So it says, let those that put their trust in you rejoice. Let them shout for joy forever, because you defend them. Let them also that love your name be joyful in you. So joy comes from him. Joy is found in him. You're going to struggle if you go through this life without finding joy in him. You will not find it somewhere else. It just won't happen. Now, remember when we started with the angels at the very beginning of what I was talking about? The angels said, hey, I have news of what? Right. I want you to notice that was in Luke chapter 1, the very end of the book of Luke. Luke 24 says this, after Jesus went up to heaven. Okay, so remember the angels, right, came down from heaven. Now Jesus goes back to heaven. And notice what happens. His disciples, verse 52, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? Guess what? Same words. Mega joy. So the bookends of Jesus' earthly ministry are great, mega, incredible joy, announcing his birth, and also when he goes back to heaven, because he accomplished what he came to do. And so his disciples they're 10 feet tall, walking back to Jerusalem, like going, wow, look at man. He did what he claimed to do. Look, he went into heaven even, right? And check this out. So 10 days after that, the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost, and the church is born. And guess who's there for that? Mary. So Mary got to see, got to be part of the birth of Jesus on the planet, right? And she got to be part of the birth of the church, which is his bride, which is you. So she got to see the whole fulfillment of these things that God had promised her. And even though her life had some significant ups and downs and difficulties, she maintained her faith. She walked with him in faithfulness. She was there when the Holy Spirit came, and she got to see the fulfillment of all of this. And she got to see the whole thing from God's perspective. She got to climb above her circumstances and look down in a way on all of the stuff that was happening because the Holy Spirit gave her eyes to see it. So I want you to watch a little video that has to do with that. And I want to read this verse before we watch it, just to give a little context. God's word says that we can have joy because we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now watch this.
And you passed the test. You won!
What won?
The jackpot, my dear sir, the grand and glorious jackpot.
The chocolate?
The chocolate, yes, the chocolate, but that's just the beginning. We have to get on, we have to get on. We have so much time and so little to do. Strike that. Reverse it. This way, please.
We'll take the wonkavator.
Step in, Charlie.
Grandpa Joe, sir.
This is the great glass wonkavator.
It's an elevator.
It's a wonkavator. An elevator can only go up and down, but the wonkavator can go sideways and slantways and long ways and back ways and square ways and front ways and any other ways that you can think of. It can take you to any room in the whole factory just by pressing one of these buttons. Any of these buttons. Just press a button and zing! You're off. And up until now, I've pressed them all. Except one. This one. Go ahead, Charlie.
Me?
There it goes.
Hold on tight. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen.
Faster, faster. If we don't pick up enough speed, we'll never get through.
Get through what?
You mean we're going...
up and out.
But this roof is made of glass. It'll shatter in 1,000 pieces. We'll be cut to ribbons.
Probably. Hold on, everybody. Here it comes!
You did it, Mr. Wonka! Congratulations!
Get up, take a look.
Grandpa, our town looks so pretty from up here.
Yeah, look over here, Charlie. I think I see our house.
Wow!
It really looks beautiful.
There's my school, Grandpa.
How did you like the chocolate factory, Charlie?
I think it's the most wonderful place in the whole world.
I'm very pleased to hear you say that, because I'm giving it to you. That's all right, isn't it?
You're giving Charlie the...
I can't go on forever, and I don't really want to try. So, who can I trust to run the factory when I leave and take care of the Oompa Loompas for me? Not a grown-up. A grown-up would want to do everything his own way, not mine. That's why I decided a long time ago that I had to find a child. A very honest, loving child to whom I can tell all my most precious candy-making secrets.
And that's why you sent out the golden tickets.
That's right. So the factory's yours, Charlie. You can move in immediately.
And me?
Absolutely.
What happens to the rest?
The whole family. I want you to bring them all. But Charlie, don't forget what happened to the man who suddenly got everything he always wanted.
What happened?
He lived happily ever after.
Isn't that good? There are so many truths in just that, like, 3 minutes. Like, yeah. That is the gospel in many ways. That's why when you watch Willy Wonka, you kind of get caught up, because a lot of it is, it's about us. It's interesting. He said, the chocolate, do I get the chocolate? Like, he was aiming down, like, right down here. Some of you in your life, you're like, did I just get a little chocolate, you know, to get me through? And the Lord is like, but I have this for you. I have my kingdom for you. I have my life, my joy. I have eternity for you, not just right now. I got it all. I think it's interesting how he said, I'm giving it to you. The factory is yours. And there's a verse that says, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. The whole thing, not just a chocolate factory, everything. Wow. And then it's interesting, he says, I had to give it to a child. Yeah. Right? Because grown-ups think they know it all. And then there's a verse that says, I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And then what happens to the man who got everything he wanted? He lives happily ever after, right? Great line. Matthew 25, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Wow. The truth is right there. Now, some of you, like, you're still, like, I don't want to say this in a wrong way. How many of you have seen this movie? The other kids, like, tried to meet their own needs. That's the other big truth of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, right? So they were bratty and mean and selfish. That didn't really pan out, right? Charlie tried to be honest, tried to take care of his family, and tried to honor the owner of the chocolate factory, and they became family. It's not just that he you know, took over the business. They became family. This is a relational thing that the Lord invites us into with him. And so if you're here today and you have not said yes to Jesus, and let me say this about golden tickets. The whole thing starts with these tickets that are mailed or in chocolate bars all over the planet, right? And I feel like Christmas, the message of Christmas, is like a golden ticket that the Lord puts all over planet Earth and says, who's going to respond? And when we look at the message of Christmas and why Jesus came, that something in our heart goes, I think that's true. I need to know more about that. And the Lord woos us towards himself, and he says, I want to show you who I am, and I want to give you my kingdom. I want you to be who you're created to be. I want you to be in relationship with me, and it's not about chocolate. It's about everything. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Maybe the Lord brought you here today to hear this message and to say yes this Christmas, and to walk into this Christmas differently. And he is inviting you. And just picture him saying, I didn't come to just give you a little bit of chocolate and to help you get through. I came to know you and to love you and to give you my kingdom, to make you family. And if that's you today, just admit, Lord, I can't do this on my own, and I need you. And I've had enough Christmases without you. And I want to walk into this Christmas knowing who you are and being with you forever. Jesus, be my King. Jesus, be my Savior. And Jesus, be my Lord. You need to be in charge of my life, not me, because I aim way too low. And Lord, I ask that you would be the King from now on. And Merry Christmas, Lord. And if you prayed that prayer, would you, before you get out of here, just let somebody know that you know the Lord, and just say, help me get started. I want to get started on this journey with you. And we are a church full of people that just want to welcome you and help you on this journey to follow the Lord. Now, for the rest of us, if you have been walking through Christmas after Christmas and day after day and month after month without this perspective of seeing things the way God does, and you've been struggling with your joy, just admit that and just say, Lord, I have not had this joy that you promise. I have not had this light and this hope that you promise. And I feel like I really need it. And you've offered me so much more, and yet I aim so low. Just admit that and say, Lord, you have more planned for me. And I ask, Lord, that you would lift me up to the heavens with you, that I could have your perspective looking down on my problems, that I could have your perspective looking down on my family, looking at Christmas, looking at 2019. And I ask Jesus for your joy that would build me up and strengthen me and propel me like a rocket through this year. That, Lord, nothing would knock down this joy that you've given me. And just receive it. Just say, Holy Spirit, I need your joy. You've promised it. I'm your child, and I receive it in Jesus' name. And thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen, everybody? Amen. Amen. And we're going to do a different kind of benediction. And I want to say this before we do it also. Right at the end of the service, if you would like to come pray with somebody, Stace, can you pray with people? And Len? And we can have Len and Stacy will be right over there in the parents' room. So if you look over, there's a glassed-in area right there. There'll be somebody over there to pray with you. If today stirred up some things, if you want to just tie something off with the Lord before you get out of here, go pray with somebody. And we're going to do a different kind of benediction, and I'm going to have you pray this for each other. And so this is from the book of Jude. And so how about if we, let's hold some hands. So grab some hands with somebody nearby. Make sure you're connected to somebody somewhere. Okay, here we go. One, two, three. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody.